This is the bit before the theme music. This is the bit before the theme music. This is the bit before the theme music. It's your favorite part of the show. And now it is the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people! How are you? This is the interactive bit. We're doing it now. Are you ready? Straight into it. How are you? Yeah? Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Really? Okay. Should we start the show? Let's do it then. That's a nice one, wasn't it? Pleasant, I thought. Maybe not. Maybe you thought differently. I haven't really got much housekeeping to begin with, or at least I say I haven't got much. I think I have got some, but I've forgotten what it was. So let's just start the show with this. So this is the part of the show where Rich Chambers, who was the musician behind the album Santa's Rockin' Band, he sends in a Christmas story, and then after the Christmas story, I play one of his songs from the album Santa's Rockin' Band. Now, this, I love this next story. I say this every week, actually, because I love his stories. And this is a great one that I think all of us can relate to from when we were kids. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Rich Chambers coming to you with a Christmas memory. Now, we all have that one ultimate Christmas gift. Growing up as a kid, all of us get one thing that we seem to always remember through the rest of our lives as the greatest gift we ever received. Well, mine was, when I was 6 years old, my electric train set. Oh, was that the coolest thing I'd ever received. To this day, I still love trains. It all started with my electric train set. So anyway, it was Christmas night, and we had a bunch of family over, and I was playing with my train set all day long. My brother was there with me, and my cousin, who was my brother's age, a few years older than me, were playing with me. And we were playing with this train set, and also my older cousin comes in. Now, the poor guy was in that odd age range. There was nobody near his age range. Everybody was either over 30 or under 10, and he was 20, 21. So he was a little bored and came down with us. And he said, what are you guys doing? And we're playing with the train set. And so all the train set came with these plastic figurines, some farmers and cows. And he put a farmer on the train track, cranked up the train, and mowed him down. And we looked at him, what are you doing? And he said, oh, the poor train. And he starts mimicking the voice of this farmer, and we start laughing. Then he puts a cow on the track, murr, 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 and mows him down. We lost it. Myself, my brother, and my younger cousin are laughing so hard. My older cousin's now smiling, and he starts mowing down and annihilating every single plastic figurine in the house that he can find. Yep, it was the electric train. That was a fun Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
That's a great story. And as a young boy, that's the sort of thing I'd end up doing. You know, you've been playing nicely with your toys, the way you're meant to play with them. And then the day's progressing and it's time to sort of bend the rules a little bit. Yeah, great story, Rich. Appreciate that one. Now, the song we're going to be playing this episode is called Hold On Santa. This is another one from Santa's Rockin' Band that was written by Rich Chambers. I'm going to play it right now.
Here we go again, December 24th. Love this time of year. North Pole's a buzzin', I just know it. Come on, Santa, show us what you got. The boys were clocked at 110. Eve again.
So there we go, another cracking song from Rich Chambers. If you haven't checked out his album yet, go on to richchambers.com or just Google Santa's Rocking Band. It'll come up. And if you go onto his website, richchambers.com, there's a sidebar on the left. Click on Santa's Rocking Band. All the tracks come up and you can listen to them on the website. Go and check it out. Now it's time for this.
Book review. Book review.
Christmas.
Book review.
A few weeks ago, I got an email from a gentleman by the name of Ed Daly, and he told me that he'd written a book called The Christmas Book and wondered if I'd be interested in looking at it and maybe reviewing it for the show. Well, I was interested. I've read it already and it is fantastic. It covers so much about Christmas. I'm not going to go into it now because I've got an interview with the chap that wrote it. Now, he's also a podcaster and we do talk briefly about his podcast that he's on, but most of it is us talking about his book. So here's my interview with Ed Daly. Now, this is a Zoom conversation, so the audio might be a little bit dodgy in places, but generally, I think this one's okay. So, Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. That was some introduction.
Yeah, I'm great at that. So, Ed, where, can you tell everyone where you're from, first up?
I live in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is just across the river from New York City.
Oh, wow. Are you far from Lambertville?
I've heard of it, but it's probably, everything seems to be about 45 minutes from here.
Okay. Okay. I can tell you they've got a good version of A Christmas Carol on at the Music Mountain Theatre this year, if you want to go along. Starts late November. So I've got the copy of your book here, and it is, like I said, it's a proper doorstep. We've got over 300 odd pages, 360 pages. And what inspired you to write a Christmas book? I know this isn't your first book. I know you wrote the one about breakfast cereals and another book as well. Why a Christmas book?
I could give a more profound reason, but really, I caught part of a 90210 Christmas episode that was so crazy. And I was like, is there any way I can find a way to write about this episode? They were trying to remake It's a Wonderful Life, and they were on a school bus, and it was so bizarre. And I kind of thought about, is there any publication I can write about this? Because it's just the most bizarre hour of television I had ever seen. And then from there, I realized that's maybe I could just put that as a segment to a book, and maybe I could write about television episodes of Christmas. And then I realized maybe that's limiting. And then I just kept asking myself more questions. And then from there, it went, let me write about movies and the history. Why do we have trees in our house and mistletoe? And where did Santa Claus come from? And I just kept asking myself questions, and that's how it ballooned to 300.
So I just want to get this straight, okay? This whole book is just filler, apart from the one bit about 90210. That's why you wrote this book, because you want people to know about the 90210. What if people skip that page? What if the pages stuck together?
If I have to be honest, that's probably the best part to skip, because it doesn't even make sense. They have a bunch of rich, entitled Beverly Hills high school students that are angry on Christmas time, and they almost get into a bus crash, but an angel saves them. I don't know. It's just, that was the thing that I was thinking, is there any way that I can mine the comedy of this just bonkers Christmas episode from maybe 1993, 1992. And it just kind of worked backward from there. So some people have this, this more noble plan. And to me, it was one thing inspired a bunch of questions. And then I thought, well, maybe I should make a guidebook to all things Christmas that I could think of. Every major song, all the different Christmas Carol adaptations, stuff like that.
Yes, because the book is, there's a lot in it. You covered so much about Christmas. There's Christmas around the world. It's pretty much the total Christmas podcast in book form, apart from obviously the host isn't as his accent's not as good. So almost like the majority of it, would you say, is TV and songs, isn't it? You cover like where Christmas turns up in so many different episodes and different films.
Yeah, it really, there are, from what I've seen, there are plenty of books that cover the history of Yule and Saturnalia, and that stuff is interesting, and it's stuff that I didn't necessarily know all the details of before I researched it. But I think television is the most underappreciated aspect of Christmas, because when you're a kid, especially when you're a kid and you're inside, and you know, it's not like you have big plans on Saturday nights. That's when I would watch these random Christmas episodes and get me into the spirit. And there are a lot of good and bad episodes that are trying to cover Christmas in some way, shape, or form. And I think it used to be more special that you'd have one episode or two episodes over the entire series of a television show. And now it's a thing where The Simpsons will do one every season, and pretty much every major network television show will do their Christmas episode the last show of the calendar year. But it used to be kind of a special thing. And I thought, you know, it was a big part of my childhood, and it should be covered.
Do you know what? You're right. It should, because there is a lot of other, but a lot of the books I've got cover the same stuff, and you've covered a lot of it at the start of your book. But then when you get into the films, the TV stuff and the songs, that's not in the books I've got. And there are books out there like this, but not ones that cover so much. The sort of thing is, this is like, it's encyclopedic almost. So here's the question. How did you find all the Christmas episodes of these different, I noticed you've got EastEnders in it, which to British listeners will all know about EastEnders, because EastEnders, their Christmas episodes are huge. They get the biggest viewing figures of the year, like on any television show in the UK. But in the States, I'm sure most of my listeners, which is most of my listeners that are in the States, I've never even heard of EastEnders. So how did you find out about it?
I've spent a fair amount of time in London over the summers, over the last decade or so, pre-pandemic. My wife works in advertising, and she would work out of the London office for 2 months, 3 months. And I've worked from home for the last decade or so. So wherever there's an internet connection, I can be in the office. So I've spent a fair amount of summers in London. So I'm aware of maybe more television shows or just things in the British universe than your average American. But I don't know, EastEnders to me is if I had to think of three British shows, that's one of the ones I would think of. The Office, EastEnders, Fawlty Towers. I don't know. There's, you know, it's a very iconic show, whether you're a fan or not. It's pretty well known, I would think.
But how did you know about the Christmas episodes then?
Well, so, you know, the way I watched a lot of these things is the internet is just, it's limitless, that whatever you're into, there's somebody who's way more into it. And there was somebody who I was looking up what are different, if you just Google different variations of the Christmas Carol, if you go 8 pages deep on Google, you'll find somebody that said, oh, the EastEnders was my favorite adaptation. And so I was able to find it, probably YouTube, but sometimes there are a bunch of random sites that I don't know what their purpose is for uploading random soap operas. But I found it. I unfortunately watched that one. That was a rough adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Do you know what? My research on your book is awful. Just so, listeners, just so you know, I got the book like 3 days ago, so I haven't read the whole thing yet. I didn't realize that was actually a version of A Christmas Carol on EastEnders. It wasn't just Christmas episodes of EastEnders. I've been flicking through while he was talking then. Sorry, that's how professional I am. I didn't know that. How do I not know this and you know this? I do an episode of A Christmas Carol every blooming episode. What's going on?
Staggeringly bad. It was rough how bad it was.
Was it a whole episode? Could they have done it for like a charity show or something, or a comedy?
Was it comedy? I'm unaware if it was just a segment or it was. If it lasted 10 minutes, it felt like 2 hours. It was rough. Whatever that part was,
I'll have to look that one up and then cover it in a future episode.
At your peril.
Right. So there's so much stuff in it. There's so much obscure stuff. Right? What is, to you, the most obscure thing that you've got in this book? Not like a tradition, but like a TV show, like something you thought, do you know what? Why am I even covering this one? But yeah, you still covered it.
I was very aware of this show when it was on because I was third grade, something like that. The Alf Christmas special was one of the more bizarre and haunting episodes I had seen. I don't know if you're aware of the show Alf. It was
alien. Of course, everyone is. Everyone my age is, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so this episode took place outside the home, and he somehow gets pulled into a truckload full of toys to a children's hospital, and he gets delivered to the hospital, and he finds out that this is going to be our final Christmas.
Do you know what? I think this was covered on Totally Rad Christmas. I don't remember the episode, but I remember the story. So I think Totally Rad Christmas might have covered it.
It was haunting. And the laughs were, I mean, it's debatable how funny that show actually was in retrospect. But then at the end of the episode, it says in memory of Tiffany. And then I looked it up and it was real. So you're supposed to be put in the Christmas spirit, and it reminds you of an awful experience at a children's hospital.
It's not the little girl in it that dies, is it?
No, but I'm possibly the girl in it was named Tiffany, and then you find out there was a real Tiffany who died. It was It was awful. But the most bizarre song I found, it was, I don't remember how many years ago, but let's say it was about 10 years ago. There were three songs dedicated, folk Christmas songs dedicated to the movie Die Hard, which I had never heard any of them. And there were actually three. I think two of them were Scottish and one was someone from Atlanta, but randomly 20 something years after the movie was released, folk singers came up with Die Hard related songs.
Were they catchy?
One was okay. One had a kind of a fun refrain, but they were very folksy, but it just, why would there be three after there was zero for the first 20?
That's a good point, yeah. All of a sudden, it's like waiting for a bus.
Then three along. Whatever. It was bizarre. One was from the perspective of John McClane. One was from the perspective of the Nakatomi Tower. And one was from the perspective of Hans Gruber.
And they were all by three different artists?
Three different artists. Yeah. The Ballad of Hans Gruber and there are three different diehard folk songs, but I cover those three in my book.
So, you know, I haven't got to that bit yet, but I'm going to definitely pay close attention when I do. How long did this take you to write? It's massive. And so can I just before you tell me that, did you watch everything and listen to everything in here?
I did watch every single thing in here. I think I had the idea maybe a month after Christmas this year. And then between February and May, I pretty much did till late May, I did this nonstop. And I started to lose my mind because to consume all this while I was working out, I would have one of these on in the background. So maybe that EastEnders was on while I was on the elliptical machine. And I just consumed nothing. I would watch some sports to break it up. But pretty much I unplugged from all current programming and I just consumed all of these things and wrote about them. And it took me about three full months of doing this.
To write it? That's nothing. That's incredibly quick.
Yeah, I mean, and then the editing process and all that, you know, took a few months. But my previous book took me the better part of 5 years. So
have you got kids?
I have two boys. One's 13 and one's 11. So they
are still young enough, though. So how did you manage to write a book in 3 months? Did you work other than the podcast?
Yeah, but but again, it was, you know, if you do it nonstop at night and in the morning, you can get it done. But unfortunately, I was in a kind of an unhealthy place because if you're writing about Christmas music and nothing else and Christmas movies, that's all you're thinking about, but it's April and nobody around you is thinking about it.
And there's some of us, actually, Ed. There is a bunch of us.
But that's the thing. That's how I found the wonderful world of your podcast. Because
I like the way you said my podcast. You couldn't remember the name of my bloody podcast.
No, of course I
don't. What is it? What's my podcast called?
Total Christmas Podcast.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's called Totally Rad Christmas. Oh, no, hang on. You're right. Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, that's how I found it, because then I was looking, because I wanted to see, is there anything that I am forgetting? Because I was trying to ask myself questions to fill out the book. And I started looking on Facebook pages. And unfortunately, most of the pages are just pictures of like kittens by a Christmas tree, but then there are some Facebook pages that have content on it, and yours was one of the first ones I found. So that's that's how
it is. True.
Yeah, that's that really is true.
My Facebook page.
No, you're like finding your page through Facebook. Somebody recommended these are the best Christmas podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Found it through there, and then I started finding content other than most Facebook Christmas pages are just pictures that I found.
They are. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
But it I didn't get any content from that. I was thinking like, well, is there a Christmas community that people are discussing it, or is it just Christmas pictures? Like, oh, here's a beautiful, serene.
I think there's some Reddit groups. Is it Reddit? What's the other one? Is it Reddit? It's Reddit, I think. There's a few Reddit groups as well. So what is your favorite Christmas film?
Christmas is so much about it is about nostalgia, right? That's why we listen to old songs. And so for me, it's tough to separate. Do I love this movie because I had a great experience seeing it in the theaters when I was a little boy? Or is it really my favorite? But the one every year that I look forward to watching first when you know the tree is out, when it's fully Christmas season, is Scrooged, the Bill Murray movie. That's and because when I went in the theaters, I think I went opening night, and at the end where he's addressing the audience as the credits are rolling, and he's like talking to people to sing and getting people to sing, like my whole theater, everybody was singing, and it was like the craziest experience for me as a boy. So to me,
he does. He's talking to the audience, isn't he? He's talking to the cinematic audience.
And he says, the men sing it. Now the right hand of the theater, the left, and he's pointing to people in like the, you know, looking into the camera and saying, you sing like.
And as you were there, that was happening, wasn't
it? I was in a movie theater and people were singing and clapping and laughing. And like, it was just a lively movie theater cinema experience that I don't know how to separate that from. That always just gives me the, you know, the best Christmas feeling. So Scrooge, the one that I look forward to the most because it brings me right back there to when I was, I don't know, maybe I was 10 years old, whatever.
I never saw it in the cinema. I saw it like years after it came out on video. So obviously I've never experienced it actually, because I forgot about, you forget about that bit at the end when he's talking to the cinematic audience. Yeah, that must've been incredible for, I suppose, you know, it only have happened in, what was it, 88, wouldn't it?
It was 88. So
So that small window of him, he recorded that just for the cinema. Yeah, but you've got a quote at the start of the book, haven't you? It's his quote at the end,
right? You know, and I think that quote actually encapsulates why I love Christmas so much. When he's, you know, he kind of has his epiphany and he's speaking to the audience. He cuts the ITV. Feed of the live Christmas carol that they're performing at his TV station, and he's like, you know, Christmas Eve, what is the quote exactly? It's like Christmas Eve, it's the day where the night of the year where we're the people we hoped we would be.
Yeah. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Sell the book. Tell everyone what you want them to know about your fantastic book. I'm going to do that as well. I want you to do it yourself.
So I think my goal after the 90210 part, my goal was to create the ultimate Christmas guide, that there's something in this book for everybody. And I cover It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas and the story behind the Christmas tree. But I also get into some great independent Christmas songs that I hadn't known about until this past year. I get into obscure Christmas television episodes, including an EastEnders Christmas Carol adaptation. I rank 100 different Christmas Carol adaptations. I know you did Sanford and Son not too long ago.
You got 100 in there, did you say?
100.
Wow.
100 different ones. EastEnders was in the high 90s, I believe.
Yeah, it's very low. Yeah.
But it's something for everyone, and I think it would make a great gift. What I find troubling at Christmas time is there's a handful of people that I really don't know what to get them. And you know, you're either getting them vouchers, gift cards, or maybe this is the type of book for them. If you can't think of something, if they like Christmas, this is the book for them. I think this would make a great gift. It's an easy to pick up and put down. And, you know, if you just want to look at Christmas songs, this is not one chapter doesn't connect to the other. So it's kind of a little snapshot of everything we can think of at Christmas.
Yes, that explains it very well, actually, because it is one of those books. I've got it by the side of my bed, so now I'm just grabbing it when I want, and I just sit down and I read a few articles, and I'm loving it. I really am loving it, and I highly recommend it to every single one of my listeners. Of course, I'll be putting links on the Facebook page and that, so everyone, you know, you will get the chance to see the book. Yeah, I can't recommend it highly enough. And what's really great about this book is that, hold on, all profits from the book will be donated to the Human Fund. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Human Fund, but I, for one, am, and it is a very worthy cause.
Thank you so much. I really, I thought long and hard about which charity would get it, and Human Fund seems like the perfect charity for me.
Did you cover Festivus in your book?
Of course.
I haven't got to that bit yet.
Yeah. And what I try to do, because there are several good Christmas episodes of a show like Seinfeld, I just try to pick the best one. And I acknowledge the other ones. Or South Park has, you know, 15 different Christmas episodes.
Yes, it does. I got a DVD of like some of their best episodes that they've released years and years ago. Yeah.
Right. You got several Mr. Hankey ones. You've got the Woodland Creature Christmas.
That's right.
There's a bunch. So yeah, I try to focus on the best episode of, you know, each show that I could.
Well, I want to say, Ed, it's been a real pleasure chatting to you. Thanks for coming on. If you're not familiar with his podcast, The Baller Lifestyle, do you want to plug The Baller Lifestyle? Do you want to have a go?
I don't know if the...
You'd be surprised. I've got some listeners out there that don't mind a bit of swearing, I'm sure.
It's an R-rated podcast.
It is R-rated, but I still like it. I've recommended a few R-rated shows and podcasts before, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you're going to say? It's an R-rated podcast. There's no full frontal nudity in yours, and I have full frontal nudity in my podcast. Not anymore. I'm not allowed. But I used to have. Yeah.
It's a sports and pop culture podcast, but we try not to get too heavy into the sports part. It's more the things around the if an athlete gets into trouble, it's that kind of sports discussion.
There we go. Yeah, that's it.
Less. Why did you call this play with 30 seconds to go on the clock, that kind of thing. We don't get into the details of sports as much.
There we go. The Baller Lifestyle. I'll put a link on that as well on the Facebook page. Thank you so much, Ed. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Good man. Cheers. Thank you.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for a segment.
Do you know, I can't believe I'm still using that jingle for this segment. I really should have recorded someone else. I'm sorry about that. But not sorry enough to do anything about it. That's the situation we've got here, kids. It's like, you know, I apologize. It's like when my kids apologize to me. I'm sorry, Daddy. No, you're not sorry. You don't even sound sorry. But I am sort of sorry because I've got to put up with that jingle as well. I don't just record this, but although you might think I just record this podcast and then just like chuck it in a bucket and then put it online, that's not quite what I do, right? I actually do edit it and I do then listen to the whole thing. And I have to listen to that blimmin' jingle, right? And I think, why haven't I changed it yet? It's because I'm lazy. Now, you might think, oh, well, sort yourself out. No, you don't understand. I just told you I'm lazy. This is a clinical condition, okay? And I'd appreciate a little bit more sympathy, if you could, please. Right, now I've forgotten what I was doing. What was I doing? Oh yeah, it's the top tens. Right, so I'm doing three this week because I've still got a bit of a backlog I'm trying to chip away at. And here comes the first top 10 list. This comes from Stacey McKinsey. Okay, are you ready? Play the music. At number 10, It's A Christmas Story. Number 9, The Grinch, Jim Carrey version from 1999. Number 8, White Christmas. Number 7, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 6, A Christmas Carol. This is the Albert Finney musical version. Number 5, Miracle on 34th Street from 1994. Number 4, first time on the chart, The Santa Claus Part 3. At number 3, The Santa Claus Part 1. Number 2 is Elf. And number 1 is Fred Claus. That's interesting, isn't it? Like, not the Fred Claus bit, that's fine. The Santa Claus Part 3 and Part 1. Part 2, no thank you. Do you know what, which is funny, because I thought Part 3 was the weakest of the bunch. I didn't care for it, really. No, I didn't. I watched Part 2 the other day. It was on Disney Plus. I thought, do you know what, I'll have something Christmassy, chuck that on. First time I'd ever seen it all the way through, actually. Thought it was alright. So, there you go. But that's Stacey's list, not mine. So, if she's happy with it, who am I to argue? I'm going to judge it, of course, but I'm not going to argue with it. Next up, we have Eddie Honan. You may remember Eddie from the last episode. He's playing Fezziwig at the Music Mountain Theatre. I hope I got that right. Is it Music Mountain Theatre? Mountain of Music. Music Mountain Theatre. Yeah, the Music Mountain Theatre. So, yeah, if you live in the area, make sure you get your tickets. It starts at the end of November, and Eddie will be there playing Fezziwig and then signing autographs in the foyer afterwards. Tell him Jack sent you. This is Eddie's top 10. Here we go. Number 10, first time on the chart again. And to be honest, I was surprised about this because I've had like, what, we're up to 16 lists now, is it? And this is the first time we've had Ernest Saves Christmas, which I thought was a minor classic, but it seems like Eddie's the only one that cares for it. Number 9 is Gremlins. Number 8, Miracle on 34th Street. Number 7, A Christmas Story. Number 6, All I Want for Christmas. Number 5 is Elf. 4 is Home Alone. Number 3 is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 2 is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. And number 1 is It's a Wonderful Life. There we go. That's Eddie's list. Right. Next up, we've got Jennifer Kay. And you may not remember this, but she is the owner. Actually, I can't say owner. So she's the mum of the Total Christmas Podcast mascot. That's Little Elmer. I don't know if you remember him. I talked about him before. He used to growl at Christmas trees, but now he's embraced the season. Just like we have embraced him as our mascot. Now, this is their combined list. Are you ready? Play the music. At number 10, A Christmas Story. At number 9, Miracle on 34th Street, 1994 version. At number 8, Mickey's Christmas Carol. Number 7, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 6, White Christmas. Number 5 is Scrooged. Number 4, Elf. Number 3, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 2, A Christmas Carol, the George C. Scott version. And number 1, first time on the list, is Office Christmas Party. Now, I can't lie to you, that came as quite a surprise that a little doggy and his mummy had that as their favourite Christmas movie. But Jennifer sent me a story about it and I want to share it with you now. She put, "Hey there, Jack. I figured you'd think Office Christmas Party was a weird one for my number one. There's a significance to it. I lost my dad in 2013 to cancer. He was born 2 days after Christmas and we lost him January the 14th. I pretty much didn't celebrate anything after that, least of all Christmas. It was too painful. Long story short, the movie is one that he would have loved. It was our kind of humour. I laughed harder than I had in years when I watched it, and that movie made me want to celebrate Christmas again. The following year, I actually put up a tree again. Up until then, I hadn't decorated my house or put up a tree since my dad passed. So that's why it's my favourite. Just thought I'd share that little fun fact." And I think that's wonderful. It's like this film came along and made Jennifer want to celebrate Christmas again. And I've seen that film and I didn't care for it. Sorry, Jennifer. I didn't hate it. You know, I've seen it twice. So I didn't hate it. You know, as Christmas films go, it's a bit more adult. You know, there's a bit of humour to it. But it just, nah. But there you go. Anyway, thank you for the story, though, Jennifer. Right, now it is time for the countdown to see where these three newcomers appear on our list. Like I said, we've got 16 now. So, play the music. At number 16, I'm sorry to say it, she's still there, it's Shona Birch. Number 15, sorry Stacey, it's Stacey McKinsey. Number 14, Robert Nicholas. Number 13, Anthony Caruso. Number 12 is Tony Dixon. Number 11 is Katie Gibson. Number 10, new on our chart, is Jennifer and Elmer. Number 9 is Lee Mayer. Number 8, Benji Pearson. Number 7, Art Kilmer. At number 6 is Jeffrey Malcolmson. Number 5 is Scott Newman. Number 4, Mike Westphal. New in at number 3 is Eddie Honan, which means still at number 2 is Dan Carlson, and at number 1 it is still Crick Jiminy. That's how it stands. I've still got a few back in the cupboards that people have already sent through to read out, but if you want to send yours in, get it in before Christmas and I'll read it out and we'll see where you fare on the chart that is decided by me. Now it's time for this. So, back in the top 10 lists, at number 2 we had Dan Carlson. Now, some of you may remember this, back in late December last year, I got a message from Dan that I played out on the show, and he emailed me with his top 10 list. And Dan runs his own business where he makes incredible woodworking stuff. Now, he sent me a message last year and showed me some pictures of the stuff he works on, and I can't remember if I gave it a plug or not, but I did say to him last year, I said, remind me and I'll plug it this year. So these things he makes, they're wonderful, like all sorts of chopping boards, coasters, that sort of stuff. The company's called Burley Boards, and you can find it on Facebook or Instagram under @Burley_boards. I will put a link onto Facebook. And like I say, he makes incredible stuff that I think would make a fantastic gift for someone. Now, if you listened to the show last year, you'd remember that I did a segment that was called The Most Wonderful Present I've Ever Received. And I stopped doing it this year because I don't think anyone cared. You might have, but I don't think you did. But what I am keen to do is share sort of bespoke stuff that people, you, my listeners, make yourselves and sell. Last year I said to Dan, you know, I wish I'd known about this earlier because I could have put it out for everyone to listen to. Now it's November. If you want to buy something from Dan, you've got plenty of time. And he does say that if you want to buy anything from him, it's usually shipped within 2 weeks, and he always tries to do priority shipping. So if you're in the States and you do it by December the 11th, then you'll get it delivered so you can give it to your loved ones in time for Christmas. If you're overseas, he does ship overseas, but you might want to contact him first and sort of find out about shipping times and stuff like that. Seriously, his work is glorious, and it's the sort of thing, if he lived in the UK, I'd buy some of it as a gift for my wife, because I know it's the sort of thing she'd love. God, listen to me. Look, you think I'm getting a kickback off it. I'm not getting a kickback. I just want to share this great stuff with you. Burley Boards, @Burley_boards. Check out his work. I know you'll like it. And not only that, but he's put, maybe I could be the self-appointed Total Christmas Podcast Workshop Elf. If he's self-appointed, there's nothing I can do about it. And to be honest, I'm glad we've got a workshop elf. That's the sort of role we need around here, because there's plenty of work needs doing, and it's good to know that he's there doing it. So thank you very much for that, Dan, and also thank you for your story, which I'm going to play right now.
Hey, Jack. This is the story of how I discovered that Santa Claus, well, wasn't exactly who I thought he was. It's Christmas Eve, 1994. Everyone in the house is finally asleep. Everything's still calm and quiet. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, there is a tremendous crash in our driveway. I remember my dad ran out of my parents' bedroom, down the hall, and out the front door. We just knew it was Santa and his reindeer. A few minutes later, my dad returned from outside and assured us that everything was fine. It was, in fact, Santa and his reindeer. They were just dropping off a last-minute gift. Everything's good. Go back to bed. I understood then that my dad was desperate to get back to sleep, but after hearing that, there was no sleep to be had for my younger brother and I. So a few hours later, my little brother and I are in our living room, ripping open Christmas gifts, while my parents desperately sipped on their first pot of coffee that morning. And we're having a great time. We got just about everything we asked for that year. And at the end of it, they say, "Hey boys, let's go out in the front yard and see what Santa brought." Still thinking about the loud crash that we had all heard just a few hours before, it had to be something big, and I couldn't wait to get outside to see what it was. Sure enough, we get out into the front yard, and there is my cousin Randy standing next to a brand new bike and an adjustable basketball goal. My brother had asked for the bike, and I really wanted that basketball goal for Christmas, and he's standing there next to it, dressed head to toe in bandages. His face, his arms, his legs, they're all scratched up. It was a very confusing scene. In fact, it was even more confusing because my little brother's bike was all scratched up as well. I mean, the handlebars, the frame, the foot pedal, scratches all over the place. And my basketball goal was one of these that had a plastic base at the bottom that you fill with sand or concrete to make it stand upright. And then the backboard and the rim were, you know, adjustable height. One of those things. It is laid over on its side in the front yard and has a bent rim and a cracked backboard. Now, this was not the level of service that I had come to expect from Santa over the years. Knowing something about this was off, I turned to my parents and I said, "What happened?" They tried passing it off, and you know, some lame story that, boy, Santa was in a hurry, and these things, they accidentally fell out of his sleigh as he flew over the house last night, and that's what the big crash was. And your cousin, well, he was attacked by one of the reindeer, and that's why he looks the way he does. Well, I mean, I may have been 8 years old, but I was no dummy. This could not have been what happened. My kid brother, on the other hand, could not have cared less. He was on the bike, you know, riding around the yard, up and down the driveway, not a care in the world. Finally, I looked at my parents and I said, "Look, I know that's not what happened. What's the truth?" And they looked at each other, and then they looked at my cousin Randy, who just looked miserable, to be honest. And they looked back at me and they said, "Okay, it's us. And your dad was in a hurry to get the basketball goal put together with your cousin Randy last night. That's why he stayed over. And in the midst of being in a hurry, instead of filling it with sand, they filled it with water, thinking it was going to be faster. Well, it froze overnight, and when it turned to ice, it couldn't support the weight of the backboard, and it fell over. That's what the crash was." And, you know, I took it in stride, brushed it off, and said, "Okay, that's cool. But that doesn't explain Randy being scratched up, and it doesn't explain the bike being scratched up. What's the story with that?" Well, that too, as it turns out, was my dad. He had the bright idea of letting my cousin ride my little brother's bike home behind the family car when they picked it up from the store that night. And on the way home, they decided to race down our street. And my cousin wiped out, lost control of the bike, and skidded across the road, scratching up himself, giving himself a pretty bad case of road rash, and scarring up the bike in the process. And so that's what happened. And yeah, they never fixed either one of those things. We played with the basketball goal as was. We finally got some sand put on it and used it for years and years. And then my brother finally outgrew the bike. But that's a story that we retell every year. I managed to keep the secret for at least another year or two to, you know, let my brother still believe. And we laugh about it every year. And I'm happy to share the story with you guys. I hope you all enjoyed it. But that's how I discovered the truth about Santa. So, anyways, I want to wish you guys all a happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
What a way to find out the truth. Because you get your toys from Santa and they're all beaten up. And you're like, "Hang on a minute. I am familiar with Santa's modus operandi. And it is not delivering crappy old beaten up products." I like that. I like that a lot. Thank you, Dan, for sending that one in. And he really took his time. That was a good one, wasn't it? Proper lengthy story there. Yeah, you could sit back and have a listen to that. Thank you, Dan. Much appreciated. Our new Total Christmas Podcast Workshop elf. One last time, check out the stuff he sells. It's glorious work. It's at Burley_boards. Go and have a gander. Once again, I'm not getting a kickback from this, but this really is stuff that I think would make a fantastic bespoke gift for someone this Christmas. Now it's time for this.
I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Last year, I did a segment on classic Australian Christmas songs, and it was really popular. And after I'd done the segment, I got a few emails from people saying, "Oh, you missed this one, or you missed that one, or how about this?" And I thought, do you know what, I should do another segment on it. And finally, I've got round to it. Now, here's the thing. Some of these aren't classics. I don't know if everyone in Australia would be familiar with all of these, but they are songs that I found on lists of popular Australian songs. I've spent two Christmases in Australia, and I won't lie to you, I don't remember hearing these songs when I was out there. But that's not to say that, you know, people aren't still familiar with them. So, let's get started. First up, we have this song, and it's called Merry Christmas.
If you're at home, Merry Christmas. If you're far, far away, Merry Christmas. If you're out on the street, still standing on your feet, Merry Christmas. Another year. Yeah, around my body.
Now, you might not recognise the band, but that is INXS. And if you've never heard of INXS, I don't know why you haven't, because they've got to be the biggest rock band ever to come out of Australia, I would have said. I can't think of any that are bigger than them, or were, at their peak. They were formed in 1977 in Sydney, Australia, and they had loads of hits. Suicide Blonde, Mystify, Need You Tonight, loads of hit singles. And this one was released in 1984, before they hit the peak of their fame, I'd say. And it was a free single to fan club members, and it was sort of just sent out in a plain white sleeve. Unlike most of INXS's tracks, the lead singer was Michael Hutchence. This one is sung by Kirk Pengilly. I don't know if he wrote it. I don't know why he sings it instead of Michael Hutchence, but there you go. Now, I can't lie to you, kids. I've never heard this song before. I don't know if it's popular in Australia, but because it was sent out as a free single to the fan club members, it never made the charts. And it obviously, is, I guess it's only one that fan club members would know, unless you're going out looking for Christmas music by INXS. Who's doing that? Do you think anyone is? I don't know. Anyway, I don't mind the song, you know, didn't love it, but I didn't mind it. Now, the next song is called The Carol of the Birds. Let me play it for you.
Out on the plains, the brogans are dancing, lifting their keys like hobos and prancing. Up to the sun, the woodlarks go ringing, painting the dawn like echoes they're singing. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah for Christmas Day. Down where the creepers grow by the river, there where the waters sparkle and quiver,
first up, I want to say this is not to be confused with the Catalan folk song of the same name. This is a completely different song. I've listened to the Carol of the Birds, the Catalan song. Didn't really care for it. Quite like this one, though. I didn't mind it. Now, this song was written in 1948 by W.G. James and John Wheeler, and it pretty much showcases Australian bird life. So this is an interesting fact, because it goes, Orana, Orana. Now, apparently, the word means welcome, and it was believed that it's an Aboriginal word, but it's not. It's probably a Polynesian word. But at the time when this was written, it was believed that the word Orana was an Aboriginal word, and that's why the writers put it in there. Now, the version I just played is the 1969 version from the Adelaide Singers, and it mentions a number of birds. You've got your brogans, woodlarks, firebirds, lorikeets, currawongs, and bellbirds. They're all listed in the song. Not much else I can say about it, really. Apparently, that's quite a popular one. Again, not one I'd heard before. But, yeah, quite a nice song as it goes. And that is not the last time we'll be hearing from W.G. James and John Wheeler. So next up, we've got this song called How to Make Gravy. Here we go.
Hello, Dan. It's Joe here. Hope you're keeping well. It's the 21st of December. Now they're ringing the last bell. If I get good behavior, I'll be out of here by July. Won't you kiss my kids on Christmas Day? Please don't let them cry for me. I guess the brothers are driving down from Queensland, and Stella's flying in from the coast. They say it's gonna be 100 degrees. That won't stop the road. Who's gonna make the gravy now? I bet it won't taste the same. Just that flour, salt, a little red wine. Don't that extra tang and give my love to Angus and to Frank and Dolly. Tell them all I'm sorry, I screwed up this time. And look after Rita, I'll be thinking of her early Christmas morning when I'm standing.
Now, out of this batch of Christmas songs, I've got to say this is certainly my favourite one. Now, this song was from 1996 and it's by a chap called Paul Kelly, and he's had around 30 albums and 7 top 40 singles. It was written for a Salvation Army compilation album called The Spirit of Christmas that was released in 1996. And this album was released every year from 1993 up to 2018. I don't know why they stopped. Maybe it's like because everyone was just streaming music and not buying physical copies. I don't know why it stopped a couple of years ago. But the song is about a man who's in prison and he's going to miss Christmas and he wants to know who's going to be making the gravy. And it does actually have the recipe for gravy in the lyrics there. It doesn't go into details, doesn't tell you how much weights and measures you need of each item. But, you know, it's there. Apparently, they use it making flour, water, red wine, salt and ketchup. So that's how you make gravy. I really like that song. I don't know if it sounds massively Christmassy, but it really is. Yeah, that's a nice one. That's definitely my favourite out of this batch. Again, not one I'd heard before, but that one did feature prominently on a lot of the lists of Christmas classic songs that I was looking at in Australia. Okay, next up on the list is Aussie Jingle Bells. Here it comes.
Dashing through the bush in a rusty Holden ute, kicking up the dust, Esky in the boot, Kelpie by my side, singing Christmas songs. It's summertime and I am in my singlet shorts and thongs. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Christmas in Australia on a scorching summer's day. Hey! Jingle bells, jingle bells, Christmas time is beautiful. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a rusty Holden ute.
Now that song was by Bucko and Champs, and I don't know if you remember this. A couple of the songs I played the last time I did this were by Bucko and Champs. They had a very popular album called Aussie Christmas with Bucko and Champs, and that album actually featured a version of Carol of the Birds, which I played for you earlier. Now this version of Jingle Bells, and there's loads of versions of Jingle Bells out there, and that melody's been used for all sorts of different songs. And if you remember, I did an episode where he talked just about versions of Jingle Bells' Batman Smells. This one was written by Colin Buchanan from Bucko and Champs before he did the album. And from what I can gather, it was written for A King of Christmas, it was called, which was like a Christian CD and a DVD film that he released of him playing and singing songs. The version I just played was the Bucko and Champs version, which was released in 1995. I quite like that. Yeah, it gives you the spirit of an Australian Christmas, doesn't it? A couple of things to point out there. So it's dashing through the bush, which is like the Australian outback, in a rusty Holden ute. Holden is a maker car and ute is like utility vehicle, normally like a open back truck. Kicking up the dust, Esky in the boot. I talked about Eskies in the last time we did this. An Esky is a name for a cool box. It's like the most popular brand of cool box out there. Kelpie by my side. A Kelpie is a type of very popular dog in Australia. Singing Christmas songs. It's summertime and I'm in my singlet, shorts and thongs. Well, you know what shorts are. A singlet is the word Aussies use to refer to like a vest top. Like we call it a wife beater in the UK. But it's the kind of one that like a basketball player might wear. Like that kind of vest. And thongs, it's not what you might be thinking, it's flip-flops or sandals. Yeah, there we go. I really like that song. Again, not one I'd heard before. Well, actually, that's not strictly true, because I had heard it when I was doing this segment last year, but I'd never heard it when I was in Australia. Now, the next song is called Free Drovers. Here it comes.
Across the plains one Christmas night, three drovers riding blithe and gay. looked up and saw a starry light, more radiant than the Milky Way. And on their hearts such wonder fell, they sang with joy, Noel, 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 Noel. The air was dry with summer heat, the smoke was on the yellow moon. But from the heavens, faint and sweet, came floating down a wondrous tune. And as they heard, they sang full well, those drovers three, Noel, 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 Noel.
Now, I said we'd hear more from W.G. James and John Wheeler, and this was another one by the guys that wrote The Carol of the Birds. Again, this one was also written in 1948. Now, the version I just played for you then was by a guy called Lee Kernahan, and it came out in 2014. And he's an Aussie singer-songwriter who's twice been the hitmaker of the decade. That was in 2001 and 2011 for Australian country music. And he also was awarded the 2008 Australian of the Year for his support of like rural and regional Australia. So good work there, Lee. Now, the song itself tells the story of three drovers. Drovers are like sort of cattlemen, or call them cowboys, maybe, or sheep drovers or cattle drovers. They're riding at night and they see a light and they hear like singing of Noel. So, yeah. I really like that song. Not one I'm familiar with, but I'm guessing it is popular in Australia. Now, the next one is one that I was familiar with before I did this segment, and it's called Go Santa Go. Here we go.
Ho, 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 here I go. Ho, 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 ho.
Go Santa Go. You've got such a long way to go. Go Santa Go. Go, go.
So that song was by a band called The Wiggles. And when I say a band called The Wiggles, not really a band. They're a gang on TV that sing songs and do sort of sketches and stuff like that. They're for little kids. My girls love watching The Wiggles. They really do. They've got some fantastic songs. Do the Propeller. That's one of my favourites. Do the propeller. Do the propeller. Do the propeller around. Nope. Not Christmassy. Sorry. The Wiggles started in 1991. There was four of them. And then they changed the lineup, got rid of three of them. They sort of retired and brought in three new guys in 2013. They have sold, are you ready? 23 million DVDs and 7 million CDs. This one was originally a Christmas special DVD. The DVD was actually called Go Santa Go. And it's a story with loads of songs interspersed. And it features the Wiggles with Santa getting ready for Christmas. And one of the songs in this special is this one, Go Santa Go, which makes sense. So last year, I was watching this on Netflix with the girls. They were loving it. I'd probably have to watch it again this year. I don't mind watching The Wiggles, really. They're all right. Fantastic story, though, right? So in 2020, they had a reunion concert to raise money for like the Australian bushfires. Okay, because we're all familiar with what happened with the bushfires that were raging for like months. And what happened was the old guys that were in the band came back for this concert, right? One of the guys, the reason he left the Wiggles is because his doctor told him that he was ill. I can't remember. I did read what it was, but I've forgotten what it was. He was ill and the doctor said, look, you're going to have to quit or you're going to die. So anyway, he did quit. That was back in 2013. 7 years later, they're doing this reunion concert. You know what happens? He died. He actually died. on stage, and like the paramedics had to come in and they resuscitated and brought him back to life. He's all right. He was fine. He did survive. But can you believe that? That is suffering for your art. You've got to be impressed. I was impressed. So I hope you were impressed too. That song was Go Santa Go. Now this last one isn't actually an Aussie Christmas song. It's actually a New Zealand Christmas song. And it's called Walking in a Summer Wonderland. Here we go.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? Sunburns sting, icebox glistening. The beautiful sight of Barbie's alight, strolling through a summer wonderland. Pour the salve in the sunshine, serve the path up at lunchtime. Pop bubbles for Nan, pineapples on hand, strolling through a summer wonderland. In the arbor we can grab the wickets and plastic cricket bats your brother found. Backyard full of all your distant relics, so we pass the can of Mazzy spray around. Later on, sun is falling and you're drunk, uncle snoring. We'll hear the birds in the trees, feel the warm breeze, strolling through a summer wonderland.
Now, that song was written as part of an advertising campaign for Air New Zealand, and the chap singing it, you might recognise his voice. He's got a very distinctive voice. That's Ronan Keating. He was in the band Boyzone, and he's very popular. Had quite a few solo number ones, load of number ones with Boyzone. And in 2016, he was hired to sing this song. And the video for the song is pretty much him trying to sing Walking in a Winter Wonderland, and the record producer is telling him, yeah, that doesn't really work for us, and he's getting him to change the lyrics. Now, the record producer in this is a young lad called Julian Dennison, and if that name doesn't ring any bells, he was in a film with Sam Neill called Hunt for the Wilder People, which sort of brought him to the public eye, but he was also in Deadpool 2, he played Firefist, and Christmas fans might know him because he played the bad elf Belsnickel in last year's The Christmas Chronicles 2. So he's in a video with Ronan Keating, and they rewrite the lyrics to Walking in a Winter Wonderland to Walking in a Summer Wonderland. And that's what you just heard. And that one is one that I was familiar with. And I can't remember where. I'm pretty sure at some point Dwayne Bailey played that song on Tinsel Tunes when he was doing the episode on Walking in a Winter Wonderland. But I know I've heard it elsewhere as well, and I can't for the life of me remember where. I don't think it gets a massive amount of airplay here. Don't know if it gets loads in New Zealand, and I don't know if it gets any in Australia either. They are very different countries. I've been to the both of them. I'm not one of those people that is going to, you know, think, oh yeah, no, they're just the same. They're not the same country at all. So there you go. That's some more Australian Christmas songs for you. If you've got any, if you're in Australia, you want to send some over to me, send them over and I'll do the same again next year. If I get enough. If I don't get enough, then I won't bother. That's fair enough, isn't it? I think so. Now it's time for this.
Yule lugs, Yule lugs, you'll love them. I'll love them. We'll love them. We all love the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, those Yule lugs. Yeah!
There you go, boys and girls. That was the best part of this whole segment, the jingle, and it's all downhill from here. Actually, you know what? Every episode, I make a big deal about how naff this segment is, but Benji Pearson, our Scandinavian-American correspondent, he put a nice comment on Facebook saying, yeah, I don't mind this segment. I think he just finds it funny. So, you know, this Yule log was sent to me by Sean Sotka. Some of you will know Sean Sotka from his work on the Christmas Podcast podcast and also MyMerryChristmas.com. And also, he was on the show last year and we talked about his podcast and he had a go at our Christmas movie quiz and he did pretty well. Yeah, so I want to say a massive thank you to Sean for sending this through because it's not one I was familiar with and I don't know if I would have found it if he hadn't sent it to me. So, yeah, thanks, Sean. So, this episode's Yule Log is quite an interesting one. And when I say it's interesting, it actually sort of, compared to the other ones, it's very interesting. It's 30 minutes long and it is the Shrek Yule Log. So, this episode's version of the Yule Log is called Shrek's Yule Log and This was released as part of the Donkey's Christmas Shrektacular, which was a direct-to-DVD like holiday special that they'd released. I think it came between films 3 and 4 in the series, and actually starts outside of Shrek's house, and it's sort of, you've got Shrek sitting in an armchair in front of a fire, and then he goes up and he starts the fire, and then he goes and sits down again, and but then it starts, that's it, then it's a Yule log. It is pretty much just the fire. There's a bit of a surround around it, and then it is just the fire, which actually it's not a bad looking, it's obviously it's computer generated because this is Shrek, you know, which was all computer generated, so the fire looks really good. It's only 30 minutes long, and throughout it, every minute or two a character comes in and does something. I think it said it features 25 characters from the film, and if you go on YouTube to watch it, there's a few people that have uploaded it, but the one I looked at, there's a chap halfway down in the comments section who's actually giving you the timestamps for when stuff actually happens, so you can fast forward like just straight to those bits, so you actually get to see the interesting stuff. And as versions of the Yule Log go, this one has actually got a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, it's nearly 1 a minute, so you know, it's not hilarious, it's just stuff, you know, a different character will come on and do something. Like for example, the big bad wolf is like, oh, there's not enough wood on there, so he grabs Pinocchio and he's going to throw him on. There's another bit where like Puss in Boots wants to like have a nap in front of the fire, just lots of stuff like that. Okay, and each clip lasts about sort of 10 seconds, and then it back to the Yule Log, and then another little clip. You know, if you're a Shrek fan, then I'm sure you'd like to watch it. If you're not a Shrek fan, then you could still chuck it on. At the end of every one of these, I find myself sort of saying, you know, if you want to, do it. If you don't. I don't know what to say, because I don't really know what else to say. I think I said it. Have I said it? That's the end of this segment. Let's do something else. Okay, after the fantastic success of last episode's joke, we've got another corker for you, so hold on to your pants, because here it comes. Why is Santa's wife always checking his phone? Because he knows where the naughty girls live. Hey? Hey? Yeah. Oh well. Now, this episode's recommendation is Ed Daly's book. I know we pretty much covered it earlier. It's called The Christmas Book. We discussed it for a good 20 odd minutes. But you know what? I'm recommending it now again, because I read it in less than a week, and it's a big old doorstop of a book, but there's just so much stuff in there. I learned a lot. There was a lot of stuff I already knew, but I also learned a lot. But of course there's going to be a lot of stuff I already knew, because I know a lot of stuff. All right? Or at least I like to tell people I do, and that's almost the same as knowing a lot of stuff, possibly. Right. Anyway, it's called The Christmas Book. It's by Ed Daly. You can get it on Amazon. So why not do that? It's sort of one of those books that you can leave in the lavatory, you know, and then you just sit there and flick through it and learn a little bit more. And it lists loads of different stuff that I think you'll find interesting. If you enjoy this podcast, then you enjoy Christmas. And if you enjoy Christmas, you'll enjoy this book. It's as simple as that. That's this episode's recommendation. Also, why not go and buy some woodwork stuff off Dan Carlson at Burley_boards. Two recommendations. There you go. And that is it for this episode. Guess what's happening next? I'm going to say this. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I want to say a massive thank you to everyone that got involved, the people that sent in their top 10s, Dan Carlson, Rich Chambers, Ed Daly, and Sean Sotka for sending me that version of the Yule Log. So, thanks everyone. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I really, really, really hope you have enjoyed it. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, why don't you send me an email or send me a voice message about, do you know, I tell you what we haven't had in ages. I'm not even sure if I've had one this year,
right? Your worst ever Christmas present. Because I love that segment. My favourite segment is people's Christmas stories of shame. I adore those. But if you're not going to send me those, then send me the worst Christmas present you've ever had. Okay? Are you doing it? Are you doing it now? Okay then. Or send us the story of how you found out about Santa. Do something. Anyway, get yourself involved, is what I'm saying. Christmas is just around the corner. It's nipping at our heels, I tell you. And that's a good thing. So, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. I've already said that. I don't even need to say it. You know how often the podcast comes out. Anyway, I'm going to be back again in 2 weeks' time. To be honest, I don't know why I said I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here the whole time. I'll be here the whole time between now and 2 weeks. But I'll be recording an episode and chucking it online somewhere in 2 weeks' time. That's what we've discussed. In the meantime, look after yourself because I love you. Merry Christmas.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
No, I'm doing just fine, Clark.